Morning, everyone. We have a special treat today. Arnold is here. I'm sure most of you have met him. If not, he's a true pleasure to speak with. It's his sense of humor and his understanding of God's word. It's mesmerizing. And he's probably doesn't really appreciate this, but everyone needs to spend some time with him if you can. But he's going to be bringing a message from his mission work over there, which we support, and just wanted to give you guys a brief introduction.
Good morning, family. If you're visiting with us, we use these cups. You can get them in the back. There are probably some people hand them out too, but if you need one, make sure to grab one. The last few times I have been up here leading Lord's Supper, I usually reflect on the fact that it is a remembrance. And that is very useful, especially for me, because I forget things very easily. I have to write things down. I have to use mechanisms to remember things. And so having a weekly time to come together and remember Christ's sacrifice, why he did what he did, that he did what he did, and what we get to look forward to because of it is not only helpful, but critical. It is why we are here. Today I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 11, if you want to turn over there, starting in verse 23. And I want to emphasize this time, I know I've read this before, but I want to emphasize there's really two parts that we're remembering here, that we're taking time to reflect on. The first is taking part in the communion that was set up by Christ, that's been done by the church since that time, linking back to the Passover. The second, as we'll read starting in verse 27, is also time to reflect on ourselves, because our own state matters quite a bit here as well. So let's start in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, and often as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Let's pray for the bread. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to remember you. We thank you for the reason we get to remember you, the one day we get to be with you in heaven. Father, we thank you for this way that we get to proclaim your death until you come. Father, we thank you so much and praise in Christ's name. Amen. Starting in verse 27 now. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment on himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." This is the part where I mentioned this is a time for us to reflect on ourselves. Where are we? Do we need to be making corrections? Do we need to be doing better always? But this is a time for us to reflect on ourselves, to examine ourselves, so that we can keep going forward with the Lord, so that when he comes back, we're not judged with the world. We're already judged by him. Pray for the cup. Father, once again, we thank you so much for the blood that was shed for us, for the path of salvation that you laid forward. Father, we thank you so much. Praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning once again.
Good morning.
I'm Arnold Ja, here to present what we are doing in Senegal to all of you, since most of you will be aware that you are sponsoring the mission work in Senegal. So I'm here to present the work since I went to Senegal in 2004 to December and January 2024. Yeah, so that's what I'm here to present to you. And before I start, I just want to seize the opportunity to express our gratitude to the Frederick Church of Christ, the shepherds, the membership, for all that you are doing to keep the Senegal mission going on. I did not, because of your support, I don't think we'll be where we are today. So we are so grateful. And we pray that Almighty God continues to bless you all. Especially, I call him my indefatigable coordinator. That's, I call him Brother Bert, but I know everybody calls him Bert. You know, we find it difficult to call our elders or people spiritual to us direct by name. We add titles. So I can never call him in our area Bert. They'll consider him to be impolite. But over here, it's normal. So I'm trying to adapt it so that he'll be comfortable. And I'd like to thank my mother. I call the wife my mother, because she takes good care of me and now of us, because I'm here with my wife also, Agnes. And we just want to thank you all for all that you are doing for the Senegal mission. And I believe this is not the end, this is rather the beginning for greater things to come. May God bless us all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm here to, most of you may know me, but some don't know. So I'll quickly summarize who I am. I'm Arnold Ja, Arnold Komla Ja. I'm married to Agnes Ceci Ja, who is here with me today. We, by God's grace, we have four children who are all in Ghana. And I'm here alone to present this. My wife should have been with me here. So we present that, knowing that two of us are doing it, but you know that we are all together. Okay, for my education, I have master's in Ministry of Education, Christian Ministry, sorry. I have master's in Christian Ministry, BA in French and English from the University of Science and Technology, Kumasi. And after that, I went to Bible College, and I did 2 years to have a diploma in biblical studies. So that's my educational background. I just want to tell a little bit about how I got baptized. I was in senior school. You may call it senior high, very young, but since between the ages of 18, 19 that way. When on campus, we have a group. We call it a scripture union. And then one day a man came and said, we'd like to meet the leaders, and happened to be one of them. So he met us. And before the man came, we had a lesson that we were taught that we should not study with members of churches of Christ, because they are false teachers teaching that baptism alone, without baptism, one cannot go to heaven. So we should be very careful about them. And this man came to campus, introduced himself as a member of Church of Christ. So we're alarmed. So he taught us, and when he came to baptism, please, are you following me or I'm rushing too much? Are you following me?
Yeah,
good. So when he came, then he started teaching us, then he came to baptism, and he said, yes, the fourth preacher has come. So he taught us on baptism. And after the teaching, we prepared a lot of questions. Every question we ask this man, he will say, open here. He never said anything offhand. He said, open here. So all our questions were answered by the Bible. If this man is a false prophet, how do you get answers from the Bible? So in fact, we're disturbed. So it's okay. He usually come on Sundays. So it's the next Friday, come and baptize us. So we decided to fast from Monday to Friday. You know, we're in boarding house dormitory. So we fasted and we had only one point in mind. If this man is truly the prophet of God, then he should come to campus at 7 p.m. on the dot. That was our prayer for the whole week. Dear brethren, 7 p.m. on the dot, this man was in front of me. We uttered no word. We just went to be baptized. That's the way I got baptized, because this man, or God answered our prayers, the best of our ability or knowledge, God answered our prayers. So we became convinced that this man is truly the word, or is speaking the word of God. He's a true prophet. So since that day to date, there's no question that I'll ask that the answer is not in the Bible. Church of Christ always say, or call it the test, the inverse. Give the Bible test and give the verse. Without that, you're not saying anything. So that's one thing I really like about the church and everything from the Bible. The second thing is my profession. Okay. Let me just briefly summarize. I was a professional teacher. I taught French and English for many years, about 17 to 18 years before. And I even, had a promotion to becoming a headmaster of a senior high school. That is the first Churches of Christ Senior School in Ghana. I was the first head of that school. But how I got, or I resigned from the school to come to Bible College, if you ask me the reason, I cannot tell. I don't know. I just woke up one day and decided to go to Bible College. And after that, you overhear everything you discuss with your wives. I'm sorry to say, in our context, is the man. So I didn't even discuss with my wife. I just came to her one day and said, I'm no longer a teacher. I'm no longer here in the school. I'm going to Bible College. I didn't know she even asked me. She has no mouth to even talk. So that's the way I resigned from teaching and I went to the Bible College. So, how I became a preacher, I was even surprised myself because I never thought to become a preacher. Never. I knew one of my preachers was telling me that they need French preachers because I did French at university. But going to preaching field never occurred to me. I came to Senegal, and during the time I was in an university, I did 1 year in Senegal, worshiped the church in Senegal, knew that the church was not having a preacher, but that didn't tell me anything about it at all. Until I went back to Ghana, and then heading this school, and just resign all of a sudden because perhaps God was calling me to come to the preaching field. So that's the way I entered there. There's one thing I would like to say over here, perhaps I don't have it there. That is when I was at the Bible College, you know, I resigned, so I was no longer having a salary. I resigned from the teaching field. And my aim was, my wife was a teacher. So at that time, her salary could suffice for me being in the Bible college, supporting me in the Bible college, and then paying the school fees for our children. That's what I based upon and going to the Bible college. We started the Bible college in December. In January, in Ghana, every January, government raised budget, what we call annual budget for the country. I don't know whether we do that over here. So I entered the school in December. In January, government came out with his budget. Increased almost everything except the salaries. So looking at my wife's salary and the increment of prices and even school fees, it means my wife's salary could no longer suffice for me and our children the way I thought. So I had option, because I'm a professional teacher, to resign and go back to my teaching field or struggle through the Bible college. I decided to go. So I continued. And every I go to campus for a week. I'll leave home on either Monday morning or Friday or Sunday evening. And then my wife will give me something small to go and manage on campus. So one day, you know, because of the increment of things and the salary being meager now, she was compelled to do all the additional teachings. So she would teach the normal class close. Then she would go to house, from house to house, to teach. She has children in teach, and she would teach in houses just to have an additional income. So she had only Sunday for her to rest. So one particular Sunday that I was about to leave, she was sleeping. She was having a nap. The way I saw her, to wake her up and ask her for money to go to school was so difficult for me. So I did one thing. I stood there. Then I said, God, I raised up my head. I said, God, if you are calling me to go to Bible college and become a preacher, then from today onwards, let me no longer ask my wife for transport for her to go to school. So I left her without waking her up, with just a small money that I can take transport to school. So I reached campus and told my friends that today, Koto, nothing. And we laugh over it. We went to school on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The director of the school called me to his office and gave me an envelope. He said, to open it. Open the envelope, something fell from the envelope. I bent down, I took it, money from Senegal. The amount that was in the envelope could take me for 2 months. Amen. I threw a challenge to God on Sunday. By Thursday, he was answering. And since that day, to date, I don't have money. I'm not rich. But anytime there's need, God provides. And I'm grateful to him. And I'm grateful to you as well. When I went to Senegal, the night after completing, the night before I went to Senegal, I gathered my family. And then I told them that I'll be leaving the following day. So my son, my first son, called Albert, asked me, Dad, now that you are leaving us, shall we be able to continue our education? I said, I don't know. Then he asked the second question, will our mother be able to join you? Answer again, I don't know. But all that I knew, or I know, is that God never abandons anyone that serves him faithfully. That's all that I knew. So I left them. By God's grace, they all completed their education. And my wife joined me in Senegal. May his name be praised. Amen. Okay, what am I doing in Senegal? I know mission work in Senegal. I came to Senegal in 2004. When I arrived in Senegal, there were two congregations, one in the capital, Dakar, with about 35 adults, and the other one in the southern part of Dakar called Elinkin, also about 30 to 40 adults. And Senegal has a population of about 17 million and predominantly Muslims. I hope you know it's a French-speaking country. And I was alone. How could I do this work over here? As the Bible says in Matthew 9, harvest is plenty, laborers are few. So I decided to open a Bible school. And then I told the leadership of the congregation, they said, "Arnold, Bible school? Who are going to be the teachers?" I said, "Oh, I'll teach." "What are the students?" I said, "God will provide." "Okay. How about the means to run the school?" I said, "Oh, that is in God's hands." So I opened the school with five students, but only two were able to complete. Then I sent one returned to his home country. He was from Guinea-Bissau, but one particular one was with me, so I sent him to mission to a village called Seju. What happened? When I came, there was a sister in the church that was sick, very, very sick. So I saw that this woman is almost at the end of her life. So being new in the environment, I decided not to handle any dead issue. So I sent her to her hometown. And so she went, she arrived there the third day, then she passed away. So we're supposed to go and bury her. So we went to the burial. From Senegal to that village is about 500 kilometers. I don't know, mile about over 300 miles. I don't know the conversion, 500 kilometers to a mile. I don't know, but I know it to be over 300 miles. So we arrived there around 4 o'clock because we left very early, arrived there around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And by 6 p.m., we have finished the burial. Funeral service, burial service, everything is done. We came back home. So this surprised the people because they knew only of the Catholic Church. And when they go to funeral service, they kneel down, wake up, kneel down, wake up, so hours. So a church that came and within 2 hours were able to finish with the burial service, what do you call it? Funeral service and then burial service. Within 2 hours, they were impressed. So the person who hosted there said, "Anytime you bring the church here, I'll be the first member of the church." I said, "Thank God." So one of my first students, when he saw the scene, he liked the place. Sort of complained, "So he would like to go there." So he went there. We followed up, and by God's grace, God gave us 10 baptisms. We started a church in a place called Seju. Before this incident, there was another spectacular one where we were having a radio program sponsored by World Radio program. Now they call New One Kingdom. They sponsor a radio program. So one day I was there when a young man called me. Said he has been following my preaching on the air, so he has a few questions for me. I said, "Okay, go ahead." He asked the questions. As I said, "You're not baptized." I said, "You should come down." So he came to Dakar, we hosted him. Then I went through the plan of salvation with him. So at the end of it all, he got baptized, and I gave him money, he went back. As soon as he arrived in Devon, he said, "Yes, preacher, somebody would like to be baptized too." I said, "Bring him." He brought the person. I told the person, he got baptized. He was a Muslim. He got baptized. He went back. The following day, they say, preacher, somebody would like to be baptized. Oh, within a week or two, he baptized about 26 people from that village. And we have to charter a car for them to come from that village to Dakar every Sunday. It wasn't easy. I saw that the church cannot handle it. I said, brothers, let's go there and start the church. So you have to follow them to the village and open a congregation over there. And the congregation is called, or the village is called Njaganyao. So we had that congregation over there. So to cut long matters short, from 2004 to date, by God's grace, we trained 19 preachers. 19 preachers. And out of that, two passed away. Three are or were women. I don't know which verb to which tense to use. Three are women, and then three returned to their previous congregation. One is in the Gambia helping, and one is back to Guinea-Bissau. So as of now, we are 9 preachers in Senegal. And by God's grace, we open 17 congregations. It seems I'll give you the table. I talk about the preaching school. Okay, these are the previous students from the Bible school. They're down there at the three preachers or teachers in the school. This is an old preacher, so I couldn't take it. The other person at my left hand has passed away. Yeah. So the old students and then the... So I hope this one, there's no need to talk about it. You know, you may see it. That's the last graduation we had where Robert and Joe were our guests at that graduation. So we have the leadership of the church over there and then the school, the three. I now have 9 students. Three are in the final year. They are in the school. I was teaching there. And then 6 are doing the course online. They are in the second year. So just a few pictures. Okay, this is a table of the congregations and their membership. So in all, we have baptized, since my arrival in Senegal, baptized about 1,030 people. 1,030 people were baptized. There are more than that because every day there are baptisms. Since we have been here, there are baptisms. And we just want to thank you for what you are doing. So the table will give you the breakdown of all that we are doing in Senegal. Okay. And Dakar, the capital, is made up of people from the sub-region. We have the Togolese, Cameroonian, Nigerian, or a lot of countries coming to Dakar because Dakar is a a big city, capital. So the Dakar church is mixed up. And then one of the other churches, that is a church in Ellington, made up of Ghanaian fishermen. And then the preacher in Seju is a Cameroonian and a wife. Apart from this, the rest of the membership are all Senegalese. And these Senegalese, we have Muslims, we have Catholics, we have pagans that are converted to be members of the church. So these are just a few pictures to show you what is going on in Senegal. We have some baptism, some evangelism work. We go, we project film, people come and watch. Then after we follow up house to house with them, and we have women fellowship over there. Our women went to Cote d'Ivoire to women fellowship. So these are just pictures to show you what is going on in Senegal. I don't know whether you organized 31st night over here. We do in Senegal, 31st night. We come together, our congregations, to praise God till the first morning, then we go. So we are having some buildings over there too. That's one of the buildings for the church block. And then the Zach Mbao building is not yet there. It's a project that we, it's a plan. That's the plan for the building we want to have in a church near to the capital, Dakar. That is going to be the Dakar church, because where we are in Dakar is not supposed to be a church. It's a residence. So we are in a residential area. So we can build a church meeting place there. So the government gave us a plot, which we bought. That is where we call Zach Mbao. There's a church there now, which is supposed to, if you finish doing the Dakar church, we'll move to join them to form a one congregation over there. So that's the plan we have for the church building. So we have a children at Njaganyao church that I talk about. That's their building. We have a children at Jukuya, another village. And then, what do you call it? The church at Jukuya building. Okay, that's their worshiping place. Then we have the one over here. Interesting, I don't know how you can see it well. I said the road to the Jukuya. Here, all the road, yesterday, my host took me to a place. We passed through forest, and all the road are hot. Asphalt, is that the word? Nice. You don't know that the car is moving. If you are coming to Africa, prepare your waist well, because you can fall into a pothole. So that's one of the way to the village, the rough road. We call it road to the Jukuya. You see, you cannot even know that it's a road. That's where my car passes to go. So you need a strong car. You know, you cannot go to those places. And by God's grace, through your support, and support from Texas family, we bought the motors for the preachers, and we need more of that, because some of the preachers don't have motors. So all these are all the preachers, just to show you what is going on in Senegal. The church at Seju is growing very well. They need a meeting place. So you have you started through your help, and other my colleagues at school, at the university, they are aware of it, so they are helping us. So we are making blocks, we are molding blocks. Pretty soon, if you have enough fund, we'll start that building project at Seju. So those are the, and that is the plot. Government gave them, we pay for it, and then we are molding the blocks. Yeah, okay, so this is the page for the preachers. So we have a the one, my left, is it your right? Is that not it? We call Nobel. He's a Cameroonian. He's in Seju. And that is the fertile ground. We have about 8 churches in that community. So Nobel is there with the family. Another one is Albert Juf. He's in Ellington with the Ghanaian church. Then we have Paul Fai. He's in Jaganyao. The radio program church, that's the way we call him. And then we have George, and he's assisting me in the capital, Dakar. Now that I'm not there, he's there. That's his family too. And we have Balde, another preacher in Dakar church. And then Marcel and Papis, they are young preachers, but they are all in the southern part. So these are the preachers that through your help, we are supporting. Some of them have not gotten support yet. That means we are not giving them anything substantial to live on, especially the two young ones over there. So those are the preachers in Dakar. Oh, myself, I'm not there. But don't forget, I'm also one of them. All right, our vision. I'll finish soon, so I hope you are not too tired. Our vision, if you remember, 2020, when I went to Senegal, we had a vision for 2020. that by 2020, we should be able to have 20 congregations. But unfortunately, at a point, I fell sick. I had operation. I remove my dress, you see, from here to here, I've been open. So that made it impossible. I was in Ghana. And then unfortunately, COVID also came. So it prevented us from achieving our aim. But by 2020, we had 12 congregations. And then we met after 2020, we have another vision. That is, we call it Vision 2030. What do we expect? What is our aim? We hope by the end of 2030 to open at least about 30 congregations. We have 17 now. So how many more? 13 more. Okay, we are in God's hands. And then train about 35 preachers. So we have some needs. Our aim is to, you know, we have young girls who couldn't go to school. We want to give them some, what do you call it, professions. Train them either dressmaking or hair, we say hair making or a saloon. So help the young men with this computer training, repairs, that kind of thing. So those are the things we want to do, but we cannot do it without your support. So these are the things we are doing in this year. For instance, this 2024, we want to really open churches in some of the regions. We want to enter at least three new regions during this year. That's Chess, Mbu, and then others, so that we can see whether we can get souls in those regions. We have also, we want to, I showed the plan already, we want to start the building at Zakumba, where we have a 2,000 meter square plot. We want to start the building over there. And all these places, we are just projecting, you know, by God's grace, through your help, we can accomplish it. Without you, we cannot do anything. And I know the Lord would accomplish it. Okay, these are our major needs. We need to support the newly trained preachers. We want to have open congregations. And we are saying that only Dakar, Njaganyao, Jukuya, and Ellington and Block are having a meeting, decent meeting places. All other congregations in Senegal, out of the 17 congregations, it seems 5 or 6, can go to a place and meet when it rains, do not disturb them. The rest, they are meeting either under trees or on people's corridor. Is that the word corridor? You know, corridor? Veranda. I don't know. Do you understand it? That is somebody, the front of the house. Yeah, open place. So that's where they'll put the benches or chairs and meet. All right. So we need to really, we need some support to build up simple meeting places for the churches in the villages. Okay, we need motorbikes also for some of the preachers. And some time ago, since the last time I was here, I made appeal for support for children. And then people volunteered. That's $10, I believe, per person. And it started well, but unfortunately, As time goes on, some forgot. Some forgot. So I just want to remind you that the children, we still need support for them. You know, they are the future for the church. And if you don't support them and prepare them, tomorrow they become liabilities of being asset to the congregation. All right, so one other thing that I feel will help so much project the church in Senegal is to have some kind of hospital, Christian, I call it Christian clinic, where we have Christian doctors. If you can have from America coming to help us over there to be fine. Or there is this Christian team, medical teams that go from place to place. I know they usually go to English-speaking countries, Kenya, Uganda, Namibia, I know, but none to Senegal because Senegal is a French-speaking country. So I'm just appealing, anyone that is in link of that group, please help us organize and visit Senegal. Just 1 week or 2 weeks, a medical campaign. In fact, that will also project the image of the church in our community. Okay, we have a lot of, what do you call it, calls to take children because abandoned children, but we don't have the means. That is something that we can also do. That's an orphanage. We can open an orphanage. It will help so much. But what is the means? God will provide through you. So that's a challenge for all of us. And then we have the preaching school in Dakar, but no direct support for the school. So we meet at the church meeting place. Everything is done over there. The school cannot boast of anything on its own, but I want the school to be a big school tomorrow. So please, we need some support so that the school can also have a place. And this is a school building, school plot, then we have projects. So please, all these are our major needs. Okay, we are also thinking that, you know, economic crisis is all over. So we cannot continue depending on foreign support. Always when a preacher does not send money, will not be able to make anything. So we are saying that you can have some projects. We have some projects running. Perhaps the proceeds from that project can help support the Senegal mission. One of the projects, or some of the projects are what we put over here. We want to venture into fish farming. Fish farming. There's a community that far away from the sea. So fish, when you go there, fish on the table is not common, you know. So if you can have a fish farm in that community, perhaps it can help to supplement for their protein or get the money to be invested into other things. And as I already said, we want to train the young girls and young boys. So we need sewing machines, fashion design machines. We need computers and tools for the repair of computers. So all these are things that we need. And a man gave us about 3 acre plot in a village. 3 acre plot in a village. Very good. But there are animals over there. So you cannot do anything on the plot unless we fence around the plot. You don't fence around the plot, anything you put down, animals, you have cattle there, you have sheep, you have goats, they'll destroy it. So we need to fence around that 3 acre plot. And I believe if you're able to fence around that 3 acre plot, we can cultivate lemon, mango, and other things that can really bring in some income for the church. And so that when we have these projects going on, the proceeds from those projects can help support the Senegal mission. So this is where I want to end by thanking all of you for contributing to the Senegal mission work. Without your contribution, without your support, we cannot do anything. So once again, we are so grateful to all of you that are helping us to be on the side to do what we are doing so far. May God bless us all. I just want to give you this assurance that Senegal project has prospect. It's not on a dry land at all. Senegal is fertile throughout the resources, both human and financial material support. The work will progress. You yourself, you marvel at it. May God bless you for supporting. May God bless us all in His vineyard, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If anyone has any question, please, you can ask. If no question, then I want to thank you all. Any question that says something that you do not understand and you want some clarification? If not, I'm so grateful for giving me this opportunity to come and present to you what we are doing in Senegal. May God bless us all in Jesus' name. Amen.